and thank you for tuning in to Faith Worship Center's weekly sermon. We hope you are inspired and encouraged by this week's message as we all live to bring more of heaven to earth.
I remember those, I watched that video, and the part about Sari really started getting to me. I started tearing up because it was just like, wow. But I remember traveling with the setup early beforehand, and I just remember almost after about 5 or 6 weeks of doing that, setting everything up and tearing everything down and coming back a week later and setting up everything up, tearing it, after doing that back and forth all the time, I just kept saying, oh, Lord, we need our own place. Help us find a place. And we did. Exciting. So we leased it for a long time, as I said in the video, and every time the landlord had different businesses in here, and every time a business would vacate, we would lease up that space. Even though we didn't need it, we would just lease it up. And where I'm standing right now used to be a wall, and on the other side over here used to be a kitchen and bathrooms, and we stripped all that down. We've made so many changes in this building. And I love this space. It's wonderful to me. Did you know when they built this place in 1978, it used to be a hill. They took the hill to Boston for the airport. Do you guys know that? They used the gravel at the airport. So that's kind of cool. Every time we fly, a piece of pepperl is right below our feet. And I love how we have just sought and have just desired to keep worship as a priority, because the presence of God is in worship. You know, the scripture is so clear that God sits enthroned on the praises of his people. And so we decided, just let's keep this as a priority. Let's not change this. Let's not shorten it up. When we started with the group we started with, they were advising us, you need to shorten up your worship time. It's too long. You'll lose people's interest. They're only there to hear the word. And we just couldn't get it. We just couldn't see it. So we kept going where we have been going. And I don't regret it. I drank a little bit too much of the Holy Ghost wine this morning. During the worship, when Serena started singing that song, I was just like, oh boy, get it together. Get it together. If you haven't made it to a Stirring Night, I'd encourage you to check it out. Come on out on Wednesday night. It's really a fun time. We're actually showing BSSM videos on Wednesday night for the school. It's out there. We bought a subscription for that. And so it's basically, we're operating it like a school, and it's just a really fun night for everybody and good time to get together with all of you. Bill shared a little bit about my family last week, and I was sitting there going, this is a personal story. But I know I've shared it before publicly too. And that was Christmas time, how Christmas time was so special to our family. And I know most of you were here and probably heard it, but I'm going to go ahead and tell it again because it was my family. Bill wasn't there. He only saw the videos of what was happening. But those lights that my dad had on his old 8mm camera, there was a bar, and it had five huge floodlights that were probably 500 watts apiece. You needed more light back then for the film to actually pick up the thing. And my dad would have that thing. We had a hallway that we would stand in and wait. My dad would have that thing out in the main room. And we were in the hallway just going nuts as kids. I mean, Bill, he said it pretty well, but at the same time, we were off the walls, literally climbing the walls, jumping up and down, so excited. But we could not go out there until they said, okay, you can come. And we'd see these bright lights shining, and like he had said, I was so excited. I peed my pajamas. And when you see the video, you see the big wet spot coming down my pants because it was just such an exciting day. And I think that as you grow, obviously, as we grow older, we lose some of that excitement, but our kids still retain it. And then when you become grandparents like we are, then our grandkids retain it. And they get so pumped when they come over to our house to open the gifts. And it's just so fun to have this reminder that this is a season where giving is a very, very important reminder to us all of just giving and blessing each other. I'm not going to speak long today. I was thinking of some fun stories that I could share. I'm not a joke person, so I don't really have a lot of jokes. Bill's good with jokes. We'll leave that in his department because he's so good at telling jokes. But we have some really fun stories of church over the years. We have some fun stories. We have some sad stories. We have some good stories. We have some bad stories. Wherever you get people together, mistakes are made, especially if I'm thrown in the equation. A lot of mistakes get made. Earlier on, I made a lot more than I do now. I kind of got smarter as time went on, but at the same time, I still think I'm stupid and do some stupid things once in a while, right? Amen? Anybody else in here like that? No, I'm the only one. Okay, well. And I remember a few Sundays, especially in my earlier days of preaching, when I was just starting on Sunday morning. In fact, I can remember my first Sunday morning message, and I was so excited about this message, and it was David and Goliath, one of my favorite Bible stories, actually. And I remember preaching it, and at that time, the kids, we didn't have a children's church, so all the kids were, they'd be right in the front row, all the kids. I don't know if the parents orchestrated that or if the kids did that. It's possible the parents did so they'd keep an eye on our kids so they wouldn't be running outside on the swing sets or whatever. And so I remember preaching this message on David and Goliath, and I'm just getting to the point where David's pulling the stones out and getting ready to whack Goliath in the head with a stone. And as soon as I'm doing this, swinging around like this, you know, he's going to release that stone. As soon as I got to that point, one of the boys in the front row, and these are fold-up chairs, metal fold-up chairs, he had locked his feet behind the bar in the metal chair and fell asleep.
During David and Goliath,
my message. He was sleeping during my message. I couldn't believe it. And he face-planted right in the floor in front of me because he couldn't, once he started to go down, his feet were stuck behind his bar. Right at that time, right? It was like a perfect illustration. And when he did it, I just went, just like that. That's what happened to Goliath right there. Ironically, years later, I was marrying his brother. And during the ceremony, we were at a different church. And we had altars and stairs. They did the wedding in a different venue. And the same guy that face planted himself during my message was standing on the edge at the very top, because he's the best man. He's standing at the very top stair. And I was, you know, getting ready to do the vows and stuff like that. And all of a sudden, I look, and out of the corner of my eye, I see the same guy. Like a log, right? He's like a log, just boom, from the top step, lands right on the floor. And they I don't know why I'm sharing this. Oh, fun stories, that's right. I don't want to distract myself. They carried him to a side room there and called 911, and he was fine. Nothing happened. But it's like, how do you continue a wedding after something like that happens? The best man passes out at the wedding. But I did pretty good. I was proud of myself. I finished it up. Rebounded quite quick because nobody knew what to do. It's like, we're here to have a wedding. Let's continue the wedding. So that was another thing. Another sermon I was preaching, I was really going to town on this. This is when we were still in the community center. I'm going to town on this thing. I mean, it's a great message. I knew it was a great message. It has something to do with praise and worship. And I'm like all fired up and all excited. And all of a sudden, people start getting out of their seats. They're like going like this, and I'm going, wow, man, something's really happening. And I turned around, and the garage, we had windows in the community center that faced across the street there, And the windows were wide open, and the garage was on fire for the neighbor's house. And all these flames are shooting out of this thing. I'm like, this is what's going on in my head. It's just like the devil to distract my message. This is a good message, and the devil is using this as a distraction. I'm like, yo, man, you know. And so I looked at my friend, and I said, could you just close those curtains? Just pull the curtain shut. I got to finish this message. Yeah, that's funny for me, I guess. I've learned a lot over time. I've learned the value of balance, keeping things in perspective, I think, somewhat. And I've also learned that there's nobody better at doing their work than the Holy Spirit. I don't know about you guys, but I've tried a few times to try to do his job. Just a few times. I don't know if you have. You know, maybe you see someone getting out of line. They're, you know, in sin, or they're doing something they shouldn't be doing. And, you know, you need to just kind of like get in and have some adjustments going on, right? Just, okay, you got to adjust. You know, use your words or do the correction or something like that. Don't. You might think you know what's best for that person. You might think you know the direct way to get to them, to get them out of a behavior they shouldn't be in, but you don't. And I don't either. You know who does? The Holy Spirit. He does his job so well. He really does. We need to let him do it. I grew up in a church. I've shared this before. I grew up in a church where there were a lot of adjusters, a lot of correctors, a lot of judgments that were passed on people, various people. In those days, if you went to church, you weren't expected to smoke at all. And if you did smoke, you were considered in sin, trapped in sin. I'm talking cigarettes. Okay. And things have changed over time. And I think things have gotten a lot better. But in all honesty, if you see a wrong behavior in someone, hey, don't try to be the judge and jury. Pray. Talk to the Holy Spirit. You have him in you. He's a guide. John 16, Jesus was telling his disciples, nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away, for if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you, and when he has come, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. He will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Now, if Jesus would have just stopped there, we could have formed our own concepts of what he was saying. Sin, judgment. We could have formed our own conscience, but he didn't. He went on. And this is what he said. Of sin, because they do not believe in me. So I'm going to stop and hit that one for a minute. We might think we're good sin detectives. And we can identify it, right? We see it. Usually sins are an outward expression or an outward act. And we can see it. That's a sin. I don't know if you've ever talked to anybody who feels like they're too much of a sin that they can't even come to God because they're such a sinner. I've talked to them. It's such a sad state when someone has that mind. And that's the effects of sin. Sin wants to isolate people in their own mind, in their own thinking, to think that they're so far from God they can't get close. And yet he's closer than they might know. And it's his job to convict the world of sin. So Jesus said, of sin, because they do not believe in me. And I'm looking at this passage and I'm thinking, of sin because they do not believe in me. So what's the freedom from sin? It's believing in Jesus. And I suppose this is why when I hear the statement, "Oh, I'm a sinner saved by grace," it confuses me. I'm like, what are you saying? If you believe in Jesus, you're not a sinner. You're saved by grace. What's hard to see that? Well, I think what we do is we struggle with our issues, right? Because I know my own issues. I know my own weaknesses. I know my own failures. And I have a wife to remind me if I don't get it right. So it's like, it's kind of like, this stuff is, it tries to get in our face all the time. And sin is just a big deceit. It's a big liar, because the devil is a big liar. He's a father of lies. And at the root of his lie, the big root of all lies, if you can tie all lies to this root, it's in our identity in Christ. That's the biggest lie. The biggest lie that the devil will throw at us is to keep us out of our identity, of who Jesus says that we are, of who God says that we are. Heap the lie upon lie upon lie upon lie. All the issues, all the stuff that we might have going on in our head, it's for that purpose, to keep us out of who God says that we are. Paul was sharing yesterday in the men's breakfast, and as he was talking about a message that I preached a long time ago. And he said, "I didn't get it at times." He said, "As a matter of fact, I totally disagreed with the message when I first heard it." He said, "I just didn't get what Pastor was saying at all." Which is probably a common thing for me, because sometimes, even in the video, I'm like going, "Did I actually just say that in the video? Jesus isn't concerned about the will of God? Well, I said that. Yeah, well, he lived by the will of God." Anyway, I'm not going to correct myself now, but it's too late. But Paul was talking about this message that he totally disagreed with, and he was basically saying this about that message. He said that he was talking about having to lie to ourselves. That the pastor was talking about having to lie to ourselves. I'm going, okay, well, I know I said more than that, but that's what he heard. And that's the challenge of this right here, is that things get said and things get heard, and they're filters. And we all have filters. All of us have filters. In the school that we're doing for the Stirring Nights, we have these notes afterwards that somebody made notes from the messages, each message that's heard, so we get to take home notes and all that. So when we're preparing these, we watch the message, and then we're preparing and we read the notes, and it's like, wait, he didn't say that. But it's in the notes, because somebody had a different filter that caused it to be translated differently, come out differently. So what Jesus is saying is that the Holy Spirit's going to come and he's going to convict the world of sin because they don't believe in me. And what's so exciting about this is that when the Holy Spirit convicts someone of sin, it's allowing a person to start believing. When I was in sin, when I was backslidden from God, running from God, I didn't even believe God existed, right? I mean, like, I'm just living, I'm in sin. I'm having fun in sin. I'm having a good time in sin. I'm enjoying sin. I'm just going my own merry way thinking sin is the best thing on the earth, because I was raised under the church and you couldn't do anything then, but now I get to do everything I want to do, and hey, isn't this fun? Woohoo! And all sorts of stupidity that was going on inside my head. But the more I started walking down sin's road, the more miserable I became. And the more lonely I got, and the more I begin to question, what am I doing? And as I've said before, it's because my mom was interceding, sick in the hound dog of Holy Spirit on me, hound dog of heaven after me, you know, and he's like convicting me. What's happening is when I'm getting convicted, when I'm doing things that I know I shouldn't be doing, but I'm having a good time doing them, having fun, all this stuff, well, there's a conviction going on. And as that conviction continues, the Holy Spirit continues his work, continues his job, I find myself getting closer and closer to where I need to be in God. And that's the good news that we get to see played out in other people's lives. People that don't believe in Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit is going to convict them of their sin so that they become believers. Could someone say, yes, that's good news. He's doing his work. And then he says this in verse 10. He says, of righteousness, because I go to the Father and you see me no more. Of righteousness, because I go to the Father and you see me. And you might be asking, of righteousness? What's that got to do with righteousness? He's going to the Father. The Holy Spirit's going to convict of righteousness because he's going to the Father? It's linked to the Old Testament covenant where sacrifice, the high priest would come into the Holy of Holies and sprinkle blood on the mercy seat. And this is kind of what Jesus is showing. I'm going to the Father and I'm going to sprinkle the blood on the heaven's mercy seat once and for all, one sacrifice, one offering. That blood, my blood, is going to be on that mercy seat applied to all men so humanity can become righteous. Woo! That's good news. See what I mean? Just let the Holy Spirit do his work, because he'll do it right. He really will. And then of judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. And this is what I love about it, because he starts off with the Holy Spirit convicting of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. And immediately we hear judgment, we're thinking, yes, because sinners need to be judged. Yes, because those people are doing wrong. They need to be judged. They need to be judged. They need to be judged. But then he says, of judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. You know, when Jesus was with his disciples, he sent out the 12 to go do miracles, and then he sent out 72. And the 72 went out, and they're performing the same exact miracles Jesus is performing. The demons are subject to them. People are getting healed, raised from the dead. All these miracles are happening with the 72, and they're getting so excited. And they come back with all this excitement. They're just so pumped up. These demons were subject to us, and the people were healed, and the dead were raised, and they're just so pumped up. The 72, all right, you guys, 72. For someone that says miracles only happen with the apostles, they left off the 72 part. Because this is basically what is happening when Jesus is sending them out. He's telling them the kingdom of heaven is now here. This is what it looks like. And you guys are operating in that realm. This is for you. And this is what Jesus was doing when he came to the earth. It wasn't just to set humanity free from sin. It was to establish them in an identity of the sons of God. The sons and daughters of God, the children of God. And so when they're doing the same miracles that Jesus is doing, guess what's happening? The ruler of the world is being judged. And Jesus is showing them, you guys, do the stuff and judge the ruler. And they come back, they're all excited, and what's he tell them? He says, I saw Satan fall from heaven like lightning. Wow. Let me tell you something. The devil's not big, and he's not a ruler. He's been judged through Jesus Christ. Yeah. He's been judged. And we get to serve him notice. Every time there's a salvation, every time there's a healing, every time someone comes closer to the kingdom, the enemy loses. He loses. He's a loser. John 1:8 says, the Son of God came to destroy the devil's work.
Yeah.
Son of God came to destroy the devil's work. He did it. Satan fell like lightning when the 72 were out doing the miracles. I could just stand up. We're getting ready to come to communion. The good news of this is that in order to fulfill and complete the destiny of the human race, Jesus needed to redeem us and liberate us from sin and remove the authority of the devil from the world. And he did both in his death and his resurrection. You guys, I look around, I see all you people, wonderful, wonderful people, New Englanders through and through. You guys are absolutely beautiful. You're the people that God has put on the planet for here and now to bring judgment to the ruler of this age. And how you do that is you carry the Holy Spirit inside of you and you let him do his work wherever you go. You won't get it through talking. You won't get it through lecturing. You won't get it through pointing out people's sin. Believe me, they already know their stuff. You'll get it from representing the Holy Spirit to do his work and convict the world of sin so that the world comes closer and closer to being in the kingdom, to establish their identity as sons and daughters of God. Oh, that's good. I know it's probably arguable through scriptures and various other things, I'm sure, but to me it makes sense. Let him do his job. He really does his job well. A lot of Christians tried to convict me back when I was away from God. In my earlier years, it didn't work. It just didn't. And I think more than anything else, forgiveness seems to be the message of the hour. Forgiveness. It's what the Holy Spirit's about. Father, I thank you for this house, and I thank you for this place, and I thank you for 35 years, and I thank you that the legacy will continue long after we're gone. And I thank you, God, for being the one who establishes your kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. Oh, I thank you so much, Lord, that you got the job done.
Thanks again for listening to this week's message. If you'd like more information about our church, visit faithworship.org.